This is the first of our two exclusive KGEZ Good Morning Show drill downs made possible by Bailey Insurance Services. To Washington, D.C., Linda Kenyon.
Good morning, Linda.
Oh, good morning to you. We start off a new week hitting the ground and running with Donald Trump becoming the first former or current president to ever go on trial on criminal charges. And he has arrived at the courthouse. This is the hush money case against him, which is more about manipulating business records to affect the outcome of an election than actually paying off somebody so that they wouldn't expose an affair with a porn star. I know those words just came out of my mouth. It seems very phantasmagorical, if that's even a word, but I like it. And here we are, as the United States of America makes history again.
Yeah.
So help us understand exactly what are we actually putting this man on trial for?
Well, attempting to influence an election is a federal crime. And while the former president says he's innocent of all the charges, and he denies having had an affair with porn star Stormy Daniels, who, by the way, will be one of the witnesses in the case, the fact is that he is on trial for trying to pay Stormy Daniels to keep his affair with her private so that it wouldn't get into the election cycle when he ran for president the first time. That is essentially election interference. Now, Donald Trump is very skillful in turning the tables against anybody who criticizes him. And in this case, he says he's not on trial for election interference, that this is Joe Biden's election interference trial, and that Joe Biden is doing all of this to him in order to interfere with the current presidential election cycle.
Well, if he is, then it's backfiring.
Depends on your point of view. I mean, for example, though this trial could take about 6 weeks, which could take Donald Trump off the campaign trail, he is not a man without resources. And he will use every opportunity he can, as he has skillfully done so far, to use social media to complain that he's being persecuted, to complain that it's all a political setup, and to throw it back at Joe Biden, saying that Joe Biden is responsible for all of this, that Donald Trump is a victim, and he is being persecuted, and he has said that if Joe Biden and the Democrats can go after him, they can go after anybody. And as Trump has said before, first they come after me, then they go after you. In other words, his election supporters.
Now, clear this up for me, Linda. I've gotten jury summons before where you have to go in to appear on a jury. And I remember they said, oh, and if you're selected for a grand jury, you're going to be here for a month. And I thought, oh, great, you know. Now, isn't it true that since this is a criminal trial, that he has been charged as the result of a grand jury of his peers?
Correct. Otherwise, it wouldn't have made it to this point.
So, really, it's the source of this trial is evidence that was presented to a jury, and they said, yeah, there's enough evidence that this needs to be heard.
Yes, and the district attorney Alvin Bragg is the one who had brought up the case against Donald Trump and made the case to the grand jury in order to put Donald Trump on trial. If the grand jury had dismissed Bragg's case, there never would have been a trial.
Mm, okay.
Well, what about Michael Cohen here? Now, they're one of the things that's Trump's lawyers are saying is that this guy can't be believed because he's committed perjury and he went to jail for it. Who did he commit perjury for?
Donald Trump.
Ironic, isn't it?
Well, Michael Cohen did serve time in prison. He was known as Donald Trump's fixer, his personal attorney. He personally paid Stormy Daniels, the porn star, $130,000 out of his own money, for which Trump was supposed to reimburse him, and eventually I believe he did, but it was a rather long foot-dragging experience for Michael Cohen. And what what happened was Michael Cohen admitted that he did this on behalf of Donald Trump. That is influencing, attempting to influence an election, again, a federal crime. He went to prison. After he went to prison, he served his time. He came out and he said, Donald Trump has been lying about all this the whole time. I'm the one who took the fall for Donald Trump. Donald Trump has never, you know, acknowledged his role in any of this, and he is as guilty as can be, according to Michael Cohen. And Cohen has become one of Trump's biggest critics and is going to be one of the witnesses testifying against him.
Oh. And so, okay, here we go. It's so confusing. I think most Americans want to see, you know, justice done right, but it's very confusing to understand what right is right now.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, this is a situation, again, just to sort of crystallize. This is not about the fact that he had or didn't have an affair with a adult film star whose name was Stormy Daniels, which is in and of itself sounds like a whole made up thing, the name alone. But this is not about him trying to cover up an affair so that the voters wouldn't know about it or that his wife wouldn't know about it. This is about manipulating an election so that it wouldn't come out and harm his chances of becoming president of the United States when he ran for president the first time.
Okay. Now, and the interesting thing is, as far as guilt goes, he had her sign a non-disclosure agreement before this lawsuit was ever filed. And so why would he have her sign a non-disclosure agreement unless if there was something he didn't want disclosed?
Well, that's going to be one of the questions that will be asked in this trial. The other way to look at it is that, you know, rich people do this kind of thing, having people sign NDAs a lot, I suppose.
Well, so, it's like having a prenup.
Maybe it has something to do with that.
Yeah, it does. So,
I personally don't have anybody sign an NDA. I'm not in that category.
Yeah.
I'm sure you people don't do it either.
No,
but
not.
Some people do.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. Not even at the height of my career did I have to sign an NDA.
Exactly.
Linda, this weekend was incredible what we saw happening over at the skies of Israel, and I just watched in awe as one by one, or 10 by 10, they were blasting these missiles and these drones right out of the sky. As far as I know, only one or two actually hit ground and did any damage. What happens next here?
That is the big question. The whole world is holding its breath and watching. Israel, with the aid, by the way, of the United States and neighboring Jordan, were able to intercept 99% of those drones and missiles that Iran fired against Israel. There was a child who was seriously injured on the ground. It could have been shrapnel from when the drone or missile was shot down. I'm sure we're going to hear some more about that. But nonetheless, it was a very successful mission for Israel to have been able to intercept, I believe it was 300, may have been 300 drones and missiles that were launched at Israel. So now the world wants to know what Israel's going to do about it. And Joe Biden spoke with Benjamin Netanyahu during the attack, has been counseling patients, has been counseling not to further escalate the situation. But you have to imagine that Benjamin Netanyahu is not going to sit idly by. And so while President Biden says the U.S. support for Israel is ironclad, and he's also urging a de-escalation of the situation so this doesn't explode into a wider regional war, others are saying it's already a wider regional war. And this is part of the Israel war against Hamas, an offshoot of it, if you will. And, you know, Israel has to do something about it. While we've got some Republicans in the Senate saying, for example, Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee is urging retaliatory airstrikes against Iran, that the U.S. get involved. And Senator John Kennedy, the Republican for Louisiana, said that Joe Biden is wobbly on foreign policy and that the president, and I'm going to quote here, should go to Amazon and buy a spine online.
Oh, jeez.
So here's where I find the whole situation very difficult to handle. Both of them spent how many millions of dollars? Iran spending millions, maybe billions, to send those 300 rockets and drones over there, and heaven only knows how much Israel spent on that Iron Dome. Those few hours that those 300 were coming, where is that money coming from?
Yeah, good question. The United States has helped Israel build its Iron Dome. The United States has been a very strong ally of Israel. The United States has provided weaponry that was in the pipeline long before any of this happened. Some of that weaponry being used, obviously, in the war against Hamas. The United States still sitting on funding packages, I should say the House of Representatives, funding for foreign aid for Israel as well as Ukraine. We seem to have forgotten, by the way, the situation going on in Ukraine is Russia is basically gaining leaps and bounds against Ukraine after all these gains that Ukraine was experiencing. And, you know, the money has been coming. You know, Israel is doing well, relatively speaking, financially, so it has the means to buy all this weaponry. And the U.S. and other allied nations, including Britain, have been providing it.
Now, I understand that the Swiss have traditionally been neutral. They were contacted by Iran when the attack began as an intermediary to let the United States, this was ongoing, with the implication that this is all we're doing, that we're finished. But it was ongoing, 300 missiles, and then it was over with. Does that mean it's really over with, that Iran has made their point?
Iran sent out a message saying that as far as it was concerned, its action had been concluded, and that it was up to Israel if they wanted the action to continue, essentially. And now it really is up to Israel to decide what it's going to do. And again, the world is watching, and this is a very scary time in the region and in the world. And so whatever Israel does is going to hopefully cool the situation, but not necessarily. This could be a full-blown war, which is exactly what the U.S., Britain, France, and other nations have been trying to get to calm down so that it wouldn't develop into that.
Now, here's another side of this. It was brought out by John Bolton over the weekend, who served in the Trump administration. He is concerned that Iran might grab a nuclear weapon, that they would be able to buy one or purchase one from North Korea and use it to launch a nuclear weapon into Israel. And Israel also has access to nuclear weapons. Bolton blames Trump for pulling us out of the Iran nuclear deal that was set up by the Obama administration. And John Bolton at the time was in the Trump administration.
Yeah, John Bolton has become a very interesting character. I mean, he always was. But we used to look upon John Bolton as one of the most warring members of the Trump administration and a real saber rattler. But as it turns out, it seems that he is now coming across as a more reasonable former member of the Trump administration when it comes to foreign policy. So I guess everything is relative. But nonetheless, I will say that John Bolton has been very outspoken, has become a critic of Donald Trump, as a lot of former members of the Trump administration have. And he is basically going against the whole Iran situation, and says that what Joe Biden did by trying to get back into that Iran nuclear deal is the correct course of action.
Linda, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
Thanks, Linda.
Well, thank you, and we'll talk tomorrow.
All right.